Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word today. Like I said, it's so wonderful to be back with you guys. I know Stuart, my brother, was here last week ministering the Word, and he encouraged us and actually wrapped up our series on being daily devoted and serving the Lord. And so I hope that you continue to practice all of those things that we talked about, creating a healthy rhythm of daily reading the Bible, praying, worship, and serving. And that's by doing those things, we're devoting our lives to the Lord. As Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we want to be daily followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you today about the fear of the Lord. If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read out of chapter 8. And we're going to read the 13th verse, and this is going to be the base of our talk today, the fear of the Lord. And so let's look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, and read it together. This is out of the New King James Version of the Bible. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. That first line, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are assembled here together as the body of Jesus Christ. And you said where two or more gather together in your name, you would be there. And so God, we take you at your word and we believe you're here today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to the church and instruct, correct where there's a need of correction, encourage and edify where there's need of building up. Lord, I pray that every single person would leave here today with a greater desire to know you, be obedient to you, and walk in the plan that you have for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for being here. I want to start by defining the fear of the Lord. Thankfully, the book defines the fear of the Lord for us. It says it very clearly. And I don't know if I'm just old-fashioned, but I believe that if God said it, he means it. And I'm just going to believe what the Bible says, and I'm going to build my life based upon this book and not just every new fad and fashion that comes and sounds good and makes me feel good. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that will make us feel good, but that doesn't mean that it's actually good for us. Only the things that come from God are actually good in nature. Other things may have the appearance of being good, but only things that come from God are truly beneficial, profitable, advantageous, helpful, and needed in our life. And so it's imperative that we learn how to fear God, because the fear of the Lord keeps us from hating what is evil, even though evil can mask itself and make it look like it's appealing and it's good and it's something that maybe we would want to go after, something that we would want to invite into our life, relationships or jobs or different hobbies or different things that we could attach ourselves to in life. They have the appearance of being good, but the fear of the Lord allows us to see through it and to realize it's actually evil, and we are able to walk in discernment, because when we fear the Lord, we will actually hate what is evil instead of being tempted by evil, instead of being drawn away by every wicked and perverse thing. We'll have a true north that keeps us focused on God and on his word and living the way that he wants us to. And so the Bible clearly defines what the fear of the Lord is. It's simply to hate evil. That's the beginning of it. And so I want to talk to you today about this. I want to talk for a moment about hating evil. What does that mean? Because there's many people in the world that are not Christians. They're not following God. They're not devoting their life to him. But yet they actually love the same things God loves. They love helping the poor. There's many people that they're not Christians, but they devote their entire life to helping the poor. Do you realize? I don't think we realize this enough, but helping the poor is actually a great passion of God. God really wants us to do that. Jesus teaches about it. It talks about it in Proverbs. It talks about it in Psalms. Paul talks about it in Galatians, that it's important that we help those that are in need around us. And there's many people that do that, but they don't fear God. There's many people that give of their time and their efforts and their energy to be servants and to try to love people and try to take care of the marginalized and the oppressed, but yet they don't love God. So it's not just fearing God doesn't just mean loving what God loves. It means hating what God hates.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that love what God loves, but yet they are tolerant of the things that God hates.
Yeah.
They're tolerant of things that the Bible would actually call abominations, things that the Bible would call sin, things that God in His Holy Spirit would not will for us to walk into or to be a part of, because Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, Christ has no accordance with Belial, light has no fellowship with darkness. And so we can love what God loves all we want, but if we don't hate what God hates, then we're not actually walking in the fear of the Lord, in walking circumspectly, walking in His plans and in His purposes and in His pathways. So it's to hate evil. It's not just loving what He loves, but hating what He hates. The word fear in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word yirah. And it means not yee-haw, okay, but yirah. Yirah means dread. It means reverence. In fact, I forgot to mention this, but if you want notes today, you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you and you can get to the notes through the menu there. Just click sermon notes. And there's a lot of them today because we're going to go to a lot of passages of scripture. You know why? Because the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord a lot. A lot more than we talk about it, a lot more than we think about it, a lot more than we devote our minds and our hearts to actually walking in the fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord a lot. So we're going to go to a lot of different passages of scripture. But the word fear means dread or reverence. Now, I'm going to in a little bit talk about what the fear of the Lord is not, because I think that some people have a bad perspective of the fear of the Lord. But I want to start with talking about what the fear of the Lord is. It's that reverence. It's that when Jesus taught us to pray, He said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed means set apart, revered, holy, sanctified, respected. That when we come to God, we don't come without reverence, but we come in submission. We come in humility. We come in reverence to the Lord, that we fear Him. I want to give you my personal definition for the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the constant awareness that He's real and He's God. In every single moment, not just when you're in a moment of worship and in an attitude or a place of prayer, but that every single moment, every millisecond of every day. Last night, I was putting my boys to bed and we had just gotten back on vacation and the house is just, there's stuff everywhere. And we're trying to get ready and for church this morning and get her right to bed. And finally, I'm getting her right to bed and I've got one child telling me some stat about whales or dolphins or something. And then literally, I'm about to close the door and Judah right here goes, Dad, did you know that we blink in milliseconds? And I'm like, no, but I love you. Good night. And shut the door. Oh, that's what Bethel had said right before that. Bethel, right before that, had said, did you know that when you count one Mississippi, it's actually 2 seconds? And I'm like, no, son, that's the whole point of one Mississippi is to get you. Never mind. We'll talk about it tomorrow. When we were on vacation, just children say the funniest things. We were on vacation in Destin and we went to the Bass Pro Shop because Bo would not have a good vacation unless we went to the Bass Pro Shop. He was adamant that we went. And they have this humongous fake shark hanging in front of the Bass Pro Shop if you've ever been there in Destin. And we're walking down the sidewalk going, I said, Bo, did you know that I came to Destin for the first time when I was about your age and I caught that shark on the beach with my bare hands and I hung it up right there and it's still there today. And I'm expecting him to just be like, Dad is the coolest guy ever. He's walking. He said, that's the biggest lie I ever heard in my life. And just kept walking. So you can, Bo doesn't take any smoke. Bo knows. Okay. Bo knows. But the fear of the Lord is the constant awareness that He is real and He is God. That every single millisecond, every moment of every single day, you say, you know what? I'm living in the fear of the Lord, which means I acknowledge the fact that God is real and He's Lord. He's God. He's sovereign. He's supreme. He's not just some far distant idea or mystic thing that exists in the figments of my imagination. He is a real being. He created me. He loves me. He's just. He's kind. He's faithful. And I am aware of that all of the time. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's the understanding that God is entirely infinite and omnipotent. It's the observation or the observance of his supremacy. That I'm not taking moments and going, well, God isn't really God right now because I'm not in church or I'm just not aware of it. And so therefore that makes him not involved or not real. No, we have to be mindful of God every single moment of every single day. And that's what living in the fear of the Lord actually is. You see, when I'm living in the fear of the Lord, I'm not shunning evil or practicing piety for the sake of others or my reputation. Yeah. I'm doing it because I believe he's God. He's supreme. He sees everything. He knows everything. And one day I'm going to stand before him and give an account for every idle word, for every wrong thought, for every impure motive, for every action that I perform. And so I'm not just doing it when you guys are around and I'm up here and y'all are looking at me and listening to me. No, in every single moment when I'm on the lawnmower and I'm riding around in my yard mowing, I need to be aware of the fact that I want my thoughts to be pure and I want my heart to be right, because God is still God on Tuesday afternoon, the same way that he is on Sunday morning at 10:56 a.m. when I'm talking about him to you. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's that constant observance that he's supreme, he's just, he's Lord. And one day I'm going to stand before him and either he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you, or he's going to say, enter into the joy of your master. And I want to hear those words one day, and I want you to hear them. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And I believe that that comes through fearing the Lord. You know, there's a woman in the Bible by the name of Hagar, and she plays a very important part in the book of Genesis. She is the maidservant of Sarah, who is married to the patriarch Abraham. And Abraham cannot have, and Sarah, they can't have any children. Sarah's womb is barren. They're pushing 100 years old. And finally, Sarah, according to the very common practices of that land and that time period, she says, why don't you take my maidservant and you can have a child with my maidservant, and that will fulfill the Lord's promise. And that wasn't God's plan at all. But still, Abraham, and he goes into Hagar, she conceives, she bears a son. His name is Ishmael. And then after God fulfills his promise to Abraham and Sarah, Sarah begins to mistreat Hagar. And also Hagar's son, Ishmael, begins to make fun of Abraham's son, the son of the promise, Isaac. And so Sarah says, we're going to kick them out. And so they kick Hagar and Ishmael out. And they're wandering through the desert. And in Genesis chapter 16, God gives, Hagar, she cries out to the Lord. She puts her son under a tree. And all of a sudden, they find water and they don't die. And after this miracle of God takes place, Hagar gives God a name. She actually reveals to us a part of the character of God. And I know that this is true because it's in the Word of God. It's not just something that she made up. God actually testifies by his word of the fact that he is who she called him. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. In Hebrew, it's the word Elroy. Elroy, El being God, Roy being the one who sees. God is the God who sees us. Now, obviously, she is saying this in regards of God saw her need. God saw the desperation that she and her son were in. But I think that this applies to every single aspect of life, that we have to remember that God is not just Jehovah. He's not just Yahweh. He's not just Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Mikadeshkim. God is Elroy. He's the God who sees me. That means that he sees me when I'm at home and I'm all alone, when I'm riding in my car. He knows every single thought that I have. He knows what I said under my breath when nobody else heard me. And I have to live in the fear of the Lord, because it's so easy to not say the wrong thing or not act the wrong way when we're around our boss, our coworkers, our friends, our church family, people in the community, because we're more worried about our reputation than we are pleasing God. Yeah. And if you'll live pleasing God, you won't have to worry about your reputation. It will take care of itself, because if you do what is right by God, it will be right by everyone else. How do I know that? Because in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that against those things, there is no law. There's nothing, you're not, by loving people, you're not going to break the law. By being joyful, by being peaceful, by being patient, no one is going to be like, hey, you did me wrong by doing that. And so when we live in the fear of the Lord and we allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit inside of us, then by that, our reputation will take care of itself. But if we just live for our reputation in private, we will probably find ourselves being compromising and doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, capital H, who is able to destroy both the body and the soul. The fear of the Lord is not an Old Testament antiquated ideology. Jesus himself taught us that we should fear God. Now, this reference that Jesus makes is contrasted by the overwhelming scriptural references of the love of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the gentleness of God. God is all of those things, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't fear him. Because he is all of those things, we live in reverence. We live in awe. We live in wonder and even dread, realizing that one day, like I said, we're going to stand before him and we're going to give an account for every single thing that we have done in this life. Jesus is simply telling us that God is infinite in his greatness, and we need to stay aware of his power and the coming day of judgment that we're going to face. So what is the fear of the Lord not? Let's talk about that for a moment. What is the fear of the Lord not? The fear of the Lord is not being crippled with the anxious and debilitating thought that God is just waiting for you to fail so that he can punish you or eliminate you. That's what many people have a false conception of what the fear of the Lord is, that they live constantly anxious, that it's just being completely just terrified of God and, oh, I better not say anything wrong or I better not do anything wrong. We should have the awareness that God loves us, but we also have the fear of the Lord and the reverence to say, I want to please God in everything that I do, but I don't live in anxiety because, as I quoted earlier, Paul told Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so when we live in there's a difference in living in the spirit of fear and the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord, we're going to realize later, leads to strong confidence. And it's an important part of our life, but it's not being crippled with this thought that God is just waiting for you to fail because he just wants to bring the hammer down on you. The fear of the Lord is not never boldly asking for God's blessing or favor on your life, because the scripture is absolutely littered with people doing exactly that. Asking God to bless them, asking God to favor them, asking God to open a door for them, asking God to make a way and to give them what they cannot do for themselves. So the fear of the Lord is not like, have you ever had that moment with maybe you're the parent and you have a child, or you remember when you were a child and you're like, I don't want to ask dad for anything because he's mad right now. You know what I'm talking about? That is not how God is. He wants to give good gifts to his children. So the fear of the Lord is not going, God's in a bad mood, I better not ask him for anything right now. Can I just tell you today, God's in a good mood. God's just fine. He's seated on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. He gave us the Holy Spirit. God is in an absolutely good mood. You're not going to catch him on a bad day, okay? So it's the fear of the Lord is not being afraid to ask him. And then the last one is the fear of the Lord is not expecting lightning to strike you at any given moment. Unfortunately, some people live with that thought that if I do the wrong thing, if I say it the wrong way, that God's just going to boop zap me and I'm out of here. No, he loves you. He has grace. He has mercy. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. Now let's talk about this. How have we tried to replace the fear of the Lord? Because that's what I see has taken place in much of the church, is we don't want to talk about the fear of the Lord. We don't want to study the fear of the Lord. We want to replace the fear of the Lord with other means. And I want to kind of shed some light on these for just a moment. The first one that came to my mind when I thought about this is I believe that with the rise of accountability partners, that came the lessening of the fear of the Lord. Here's what I mean by that. How many of you guys know what I said when I use a Christianese term, accountability partners? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have an accountability partner, because I'm about to kind of debunk the whole idea of accountability partners. Nowhere does Paul write to Timothy or to Titus or to Ephesus or to Corinth or to Galatia or to Rome and say, hey, make sure that everybody gets an accountability partner. It's not in the Bible. Hey, guys, if you're struggling with pornography, make sure you find someone else that's already beat pornography and let them check your phone on a regular basis. That's not in there. He just tells us to flee sexual immorality. Why? Because the fear of the Lord should be enough to keep us from doing that. But the thing is we are more worried. Let's use me for an example. Let's say Pastor Jeff was my accountability partner. If I am only not looking at pornography because I'm afraid he's going to find out, who do I fear more, Jeff or God? I fear Jeff. I'm worried that about my reputation, that he's going to think I'm a porn addict, that he's going to think I'm a scoundrel, that he's going to think I'm a dirtbag, that he's going to think that I'm a loser and I'm not a good Christian. But if I will live in the fear of the Lord and I realize that God sees everything, because I can lie to Jeff, but I cannot lie to God. I can try, but God knows everything. I'm not saying you don't need people you can bear your soul with. What I'm saying is you need to check your heart and go, am I doing this or not doing this because I'm afraid of what they'll think? Because you can lie to accountability partners and you can say, oh, I'm doing good. I haven't looked at anything in months, or I haven't had a drink in months, or I haven't taken a pill in months, or I haven't done this or done that. Whatever your vice may be, realize this: God even sees past your actions to your very heart. And Jesus said, if you look upon a woman lustfully, you have already committed adultery. You may say, well, I haven't gone to any websites. Yeah, but how are your eyes when you're walking around Walmart? How are you when you're pumping gas and you see that lady pull in three pumps down and you're leaning around the pump just so you can get just a little bit of a look? God sees and knows every single thing, and you can act like you're okay with everybody else. But when you live in the fear of the Lord, you'll realize God saw that thought. God knows my intent. And when I live in the fear of the Lord, it will keep me from doing evil things, because to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Another way that we've tried to replace the fear of the Lord is by just programs, like having Bible studies and having things to do, or just sloppy theology. To fear God isn't really to fear God. It's just to kind of worship God. No, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And it's to be committed to God and realize he sees every single thing that I do. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the benefits of the fear of the Lord. I have 9 of them for you today. The benefits of the fear of the Lord. We're going to go through these somewhat quickly. This is not an exhaustive list, because I couldn't find an exhaustive list. There are so many references to the fear of the Lord. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you a bonus one that I found this morning when I was reading. There's a benefit of the fear of the Lord just for the ladies. Yeah. I'm going to read it to you real quick, ladies. Proverbs 31. Every good Christian lady knows Proverbs 31. It says this. If I can find it. Somebody help me. Start looking in Proverbs 31 for the fear of the Lord. There it is, 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's a promise from God that you can take, ladies. She who fears the Lord shall be praised. That one's just for the ladies. I don't have any just for the guys, but apparently God wanted to just put a special blessing on the ladies. Okay. All right. Here's the first benefit of the fear of the Lord: deliverance and protection from enemies. I don't know about you, but there's times where I've had enemies in my life. You're like, that's shocking. I thought everyone absolutely loved you. Most people do, but you know, you can't please everybody all the time. But this isn't just natural enemies. This is also spiritual enemies. Can I let you know today that spiritual warfare is real, that there is a true demonic realm, that there is an enemy that is roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we need the protection that can come only from God. And we get access to that protection, not just by existing, but by fearing God. Because it says in 2 Kings 17:39, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. That is a promise that every single enemy that comes against you, whether natural or spiritual, if you will fear God, God will deliver you from every single one of them. 2 Chronicles 17:10, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Psalm 34:7. This is one of my favorite passages, and I pray this. And this, I'm going to give you just a little cheat. Well, not a cheat code. There's not really cheating in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you a little bit of information here, or a little bit of a pro tip. That's what I'm looking for. Pro tip. I'm going to give you a pro tip. Pray this over your family. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I pray that at least a couple times a week. God, we fear you. And so I believe that there's an angel encamped around our home. There's an angel encamped around our vehicle. There's an angel encamped around our bodies, keeping us safe, delivering us, keeping us full of health, keeping us from any kind of freak accident or illness. And I just pray that. And I believe that. That is, I fear God. It doesn't mean that nothing bad can ever happen, but evil is not going to be able to get past the angel of the Lord. Amen. All right. The next promise that we have or benefit of the fear of the Lord is wisdom and knowledge. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. Why? Because we don't know everything. We don't understand everything. As much as your husband wants you to think that he does, ladies, he doesn't. As much as she wants you to think, gentlemen, that she has it figured out, she doesn't. Nobody does. We need the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that can only come from God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So notice that the fear of the Lord is not the sum total, it's just the beginning. Yeah. That as we fear God, he begins to take us on a journey of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that we can grow in our wisdom and grow in knowledge and grow in understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The next thing, is blessing and happiness. I think this is another area where we have misconception, because we think that to fear is, again, to be anxious or to be worried or to be just completely like scared, right? But the fear of the Lord, when we walk in his path and we hate evil and we receive knowledge, we actually find blessing. We find happiness in that. And it's something that is so counterculture that people couldn't understand. They think that do whatever you want, and that's what's going to make you happy. But when you truly submit yourself and you live in the fear of the Lord, it opens you up to a level and a dimension of happiness that you didn't even know was possible for people to live in. Because listen to Psalm chapter 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. That word blessed in the Hebrew means happy. Blessed, happy is the man who fears the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. The next promise that we're going to talk about is long life. I don't know about you, but I want a long life. I enjoy I'm going to get to be with God forever, but this life is a blessing. And we can forget that so often, because we get to looking at the wrong things. We start thinking about how difficult it is and the bills we have to pay and the problems that we face. And we forget that this life is a blessing from God. The fact that we are able to draw breath and we're able to have relationships and we're able to enjoy things and we're able to come together and have church. It's an amazing opportunity that God has given us, and he promises us long life when we fear him. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Listen to that phrasing, prolongs days. That means that the less you fear God, the shorter you're going to live. But the fear of the Lord literally prolongs days. This is a principle from God. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The next thing that is strong confidence, that when we live in the fear of the Lord, I don't know about you, but have you, and you don't have to admit this by the raising of hands, but maybe you've dealt with timidity, with anxiety, with inferiority, just insecurity, just not feeling like you're enough, you don't measure up. You need the strong confidence that comes from God, and you're not going to get it from going out and buying yourself a new wardrobe. You're not going to get it from a life coach. You're not going to get it from reading some kind of bestseller of a motivational book. As you fear God, you'll realize I'm made in the image of the one that I fear. And confidence will begin to swell up. And it's true. It's genuine. It's bona fide. It's not just you faking it till you make it. It's something that comes actually from God. And you're able to live in the confidence that he wants you to live in. He doesn't want you to be broke down and inferior. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are his prized possession, his highest form of creation. He loves you. He knows you. He wants what's best for you. And so when you fear God, it unlocks strong confidence, because that's what it says in Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Notice that the H is capitalized. God's children have a place of refuge. Do you know why I have confidence? Because I can always run to God. I don't have to worry about you, what you think, what you think, what you think. Because here's the thing. Every one of you have opinions right now of what I'm saying. And maybe you don't like my pants. Maybe you don't like my accent. Maybe you don't like the way that I communicate. Maybe you think I talk too fast. I don't know. Maybe you have an opinion. Guess what? I don't really care. Because I want you to get the most that you can out of this. But my confidence doesn't come from whether you like the way that I speak or not. My confidence doesn't come from whether you like the way that I played the keyboard or not, or the way that I sing. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And I have a refuge that I can run to. Even if people are trying to, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I'm saying this so that you can see for your life. Whether at work, you've got people that are behind your back, this and that, talking bad about you. You don't have to worry about what they think of you. Because in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And in his children will have a place of refuge. The next thing is riches and honor and life. Why do we want to get rid of the good parts of the Bible? There's so many people that they're like, oh, you shouldn't want riches. You shouldn't want honor. You shouldn't want life. If God promised it, I want it. Okay. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord. So we need humility in tandem with the fear of the Lord. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Amen. If you wonder, why don't I have what I need? Maybe you need some more fear of the Lord in your life. Maybe the things that you're doing and the way that you're giving or the way that you're spending or the way that you're acting is all based upon what other people are going to think about you. And you need to say, God, what do you want from me? Yeah. What do you want for me? And if you live in the fear of the Lord and you're obedient to do what God calls you to do, all of a sudden he's going to give you riches and there's going to be honor and there's going to be life and there's going to be happiness and there's going to be strong confidence and there's going to be protection from enemies because you're realizing I'm living now in fear of him, not in fear of what everybody else thinks of me. Because sometimes when we live in fear of other people and we're worried about what they're going to think, it will cause us to squander the riches that God has given us. Yeah. And we'll buy this and we'll do that and we'll go there because we want other people to think we've got everything going on. We've got it all figured out. We're rolling. We're blessed. True blessing can only come from God, and riches and honor and life come through the fear of the Lord. Okay, a few more. Multiplication. Acts 9:31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. I just want to publicly declare that this is going to be a house who fears the Lord. More than we fear people, more than we fear the government, more than we fear anything that would try to come against us, we fear the Lord. And because we fear God, he's going to cause us to be multiplied. Because it's not about us, it's about his church. This is his kingdom. You are his people. We are his reward. And so we fear the Lord. And as we do, multiplication, and this applies to our life as well, that as we fear God, he will bring multiplication in areas that you didn't even know you needed multiplication. All right, here's a few more, two more. You will avoid evil. Proverbs 16:6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. That's good. You will avoid evil. You'll be able to see it. Yeah. You won't be tricked by it. You won't fall prey to it. You'll realize that's evil and I'm going to avoid it. That relationship, it's evil. Yeah. That business deal, that's evil. That entertainment, that's evil. Yeah. And because I fear God, it gives me an awareness and it illuminates what is dark and what is wrong. Yeah. And I'm going to avoid that so that I don't live that way. Right. All right, the last one. You have the Lord's compassion, his tender mercies. Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, this can be hard to explain, and I hope that you don't take this the wrong way today, but what does that say of those that don't fear him? You see, God loves everybody, but compassion is when you are stirred to action. Through mercy. You see, God feels, he feels bad for people, but he acts for those that fear him. He rewards and responds for those that actually hold him in high regard and give him the reverence that he deserves. So when we fear him, we get the compassion of God. And he responds and reacts in our situation. Now, last thing I want to talk about today, how to grow in the fear of the Lord. How do we do that? I'm always going to give you hopefully practical ways to do what God is telling us to do, because we want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I am always first and foremost going to point you to this book right here. How do we grow in the fear of the Lord? Read the book. Read the Bible. You know why? Because the Bible gives us insight into the character of God. Yeah. And the more we realize and we learn about God, the more we'll fear him. The more we'll respect him. The more we'll honor him. The more we'll realize, wow, if he opened up the sea so that the Israelites could walk through. Wow, if he opened up the ground and consumed them when they complained, and because it displeased the Lord, I better not complain, because my complaining, even when I'm in my car all alone, it displeases the Lord. And it's okay to pour out your heart to God. It's okay to express yourself to God. We're not living in fear of him striking us dead. But I'm not going to complain against God. I'm not going to complain about what has happened in my life. Instead, I'm going to trust him and realize that when I fear him, he's going to have compassion on me. He's going to be faithful to all these promises. But as I read the word of God, I learn more about who God is. And that will increase the fear that I have of him. Why? Because it's increasing my awareness. Remember, go back to the basic definition of the fear of the Lord. It's the awareness that he's real and he's God. And the more I read this, the more I realize he's real and he's God.
Yeah.
And so it increases the fear of the Lord in my life, because I realize who he is, what he can do. And I read things like Matthew 10:28. Don't just fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who has the power to destroy both body and soul. So read the Bible. The second thing that you can do to grow in the fear of the Lord is recount his works. You see, the things that you read about in here, and that you study, and that you hear these stories of God being faithful to his people, or you hear of, you know, his might and his power and his coming judgment, you can recount those things to yourself. And you remember what he is, who he is, what he said. And so you recount it. You go over and over again the things you've read about, the things that you've heard, the stories, you know, like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, when they come to Peter. And they put all this money, Ananias comes and he brings this money to the feet of Peter, and he lies to the Holy Spirit and he says, this is all the money from the land that we sold. And Peter says, why has it entered into your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And Ananias dies on the spot because he lied to the Holy Spirit. They take him out and bury him. His wife comes in a few hours later and Peter says, did you guys sell the land for this much money? Oh yeah, that's exactly how much we sold it for. He says, the feet of the men that just carried your husband to his grave are at the door, and they're going to carry you to your grave too. Bam, she dies too. New Testament, church age story. Not like Old Testament, ground opens up, thousands of people are swallowed. No, this is like post-Pentecost. These people did this. That is a something of the Lord that we should recount. Now, God didn't strike them dead because they didn't give him enough money. They died because they lied to the Holy Spirit about how much money they were giving. That's why we shouldn't boast, oh, I'm going to give this much, I give that much, and not follow through with it. And this isn't about giving. This is about the fear of the Lord, that everything I have is his. And I recount those works, and it keeps me from myself lying to God. So I recount the things that I've seen, the things that I've known, the things I've heard about, the things that I've experienced myself. I recount those things, and that helps me grow in the fear of the Lord. I remember that he sees everything. He knows everything. And then here's the third thing that you can do to grow in the fear of the Lord. Talk to him. It's almost too simple, isn't it? Read the Bible, think about who God is, and talk to him. Because as I talk to him, that's reminding me that he's there. When I talk to him, it's not just some imaginary person or friend or some figment of my imagination. He's real. He's a person. I talk to him. I go, God, I pray that you would help me to fear you and hate evil. I pray that you would help me to avoid the wrong things in my life. And I want to be aware of you. But we sin when we lose sight of God. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That as I look to him and I conversate with him throughout the day, it helps me to not give in to lust or to greed or to anger or to malice or inferiority, because I'm keeping my eyes on him and I'm fearing him. So it's keeping me on the path that is straight and that is true and that is narrow. And so I encourage you to study more about the fear of the Lord. Like I said, there are so many references in the Bible that we don't even have time to get to or to go to today, but they're in there. Do a study on the fear of the Lord, because it will change the way that you live your life. Trust me, if you will live in the fear of the Lord, you will live differently. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. I just want to pray over you this morning, and then we're going to release you. Thank you for being here on Labor Day weekend. I hope you guys all get the day off tomorrow and you have a great time spending time with family and resting and just having a good time. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. But Father, I pray that we would be a church and people as individuals and a body that fear you. God, that are constantly aware of your greatness, your reality, your power, your presence. The fact that you're just. The fact that one day we will stand before you and you see everything in every single moment. Nothing is hidden from you. Your eyes are like flames of fire, and you can see not just the actions that we perform or hear the words that we say, but you see the motive behind which we do them. And God, I ask that you would help us to not be more afraid of what people think than what you think. That we wouldn't fear man more than God, but we would fear you, and that would eliminate any fear of man that we would have in our life that would keep us from being obedient to your word. God, we open ourselves up, and I pray that you would show us what we need to know so that we can walk the way that you have called us, the way that you want us to walk. And so we just say today that we love you, we fear you. And Lord, I pray for a new level of awareness of who you are to enter every single heart and mind, and that we would not just brush off this topic, but that we would dig deep into your word, into who you are, and we would live lives that please you in every single moment of every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, and may you fear the Lord. May the angel of the Lord encamp around you because you fear him. May you have a place of refuge and strong confidence and receive all the blessings and the benefits that come from living in the reverence and the fear of God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you so much. Have a great week.